God is good. So, good morning to everyone again. Good morning, everyone here in Bond Hall and in your homes. You are connected with us. We are one in Jesus. So, praise the Lord for His love and His example, His love that never ends. This morning, I have this sermon that I feel like God had given to me a couple months ago, the details of God's plan. Probably will not give all the details, but seem like the message has been given already in singing and in the skit, and I'm going to speak God's word and read the scripture that tell us what we have already heard. So I will start by saying that, telling you a part of an experience that I had a couple months ago, almost 3 months, in December, on December 20th, I woke up about 3 in the morning, and and I had these thoughts that came to me that were kind of puzzling in the moment, because I just woke up and several words came to me. And the words were reminder, symbol, and snow. And I thought, what does this mean? So as I thought that, so I got up because I felt like God was telling me something. And in the beginning, I was like surprised and didn't know what it was about. But as I keep thinking about it, more was coming, more words. And I understood that I need to do something with this, and I need to write it down. So I got a pad that I was going to write, but it was, it kept coming, and it was just something that touched me so much, because it's like God's presence is so real, and you cannot invent something like that. It's like, what I will do with 3 words. So I began thinking, well, this is too much for me. So I thought I will record it. So I got my phone and I began recording myself. I was not going to say everything that I received that morning, but like compact part of it, because I felt like God gave me several pieces of sermons there. So I began recording, and it took me like probably about 30 minutes the first time, and then as I kept chewing on what I received, it gave me more time, like another 15 minutes, and I was amazed, and I was touched, I was blessed. The Holy Spirit was just showing me things that I already know, but with more deep assurance. So when I thought about the word reminder, I felt like God was showing me everything that He had created, and He created with a purpose. He brought me to the time when He created Adam and Eve. So He created man from the earth, and I had a picture of the man, the dust, and the man coming from the dust. God shaping, fashioned Adam in the ground, and then I could imagine him being lying there, and God putting His breath on Adam, giving him life. And then he made Eve, putting Adam to sleep, and giving shape to the woman, to Eve, and bringing her to Adam. So how beautiful, how wonderful love and power manifested there, that he put these two creatures, make them perfect, make them with all the elements that needed to be put in their bodies, complete, no lack of anything, no parts missing. So God made these two creatures with love and purpose. So he put them in the garden. Like I said, I will not give all the story because it's a lot, but we have heard the story of creation and how God put them in the garden. And when he made them perfect. And remember when he said, God said, all that he created was good. But for Adam and Eve, he said they were very good. So that was just beautiful for me. So he put them in the garden and he gave them a free will and gave them limits, a thing that they could do and they could not do. So you have Bibles. I will invite you to read in Genesis 2:16. I have other scriptures that I want to share with you. So God's word is so amazing. So if we can read it and hear it, it just brings life to us. So Genesis 2:16 to 17 said, and the Lord commanded the men, sorry, my writing is very small here. And the Lord commanded the men, you are free to eat from the tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of life, the tree of knowledge, excuse me, of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. So God gave them limits. But even he gave them choices that they could choose, and they, so they trespassed that, they failed to God. So I was thinking about those things, about God's love and about the nature of men and women. So it was like a puzzle given to me that I have to put together. So we're a lot of words. So then I was thinking about the symbol, the word symbol. So in Leviticus 17:11, I find a verse that I will read it. Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. So I was thinking about one of those pictures that God brought to me was how he put blood in a human, person, and gave living through it. I mean, it was like, without the blood, couldn't live. We have water in our body. We have different parts, elements that form our body. But the blood is just beautiful to think about how it is there. Could have been another color, but it's red. So I was thinking about the colors was one of the other things that I was thinking in the moment that I had this word symbol reminder in the snow. So when I thought about the blood, and I went to searching about what it meant, what it was the reminder to me. So I did find this verse, and I thought about the atonement. And what is atonement? I make a small phrase about it's the action of someone dying in place of someone else. So when we read Leviticus, you know, Leviticus is a book that kind of hard to read because you see, it's like you have to imagine all that was going on there. So reading the first chapter of Leviticus, we find an outline of rituals to help people, the people of God, to live right with God. So there were like the part of the ritual where like the grains and fellowship offering were used for people to show thankfulness or gratitude toward God. And burnt offerings and purification and restitution offerings were a way for Israelites to show repentance and confess that their sin were offending God, that were evil before God. So they were looking or finding the way that they could offer the blood of a live animal, the blood life of an animal, so God could see the blood that was covering their sins. So God forgave them. Instead of destroying them, killing them, he received the blood of an animal as atonement for their sins. So all these rituals, the sacrifices were a constant reminder to these people, because we're just temporary help for the sin. So, and this reminder for them was that God's grace and love was amazing, that they could have died. Some people had to come, I mean, all the people had to come and bring their, according to their possibilities, to bring animals to be slaughtered, to be presented as a sacrifice for their sins. So God was, through this, he was reminding of his love and his grace and also his justice and the seriousness of their sin that need to be dealt with. And also the consequences, because if people sinned, they were going to die. So I found this commentary about the sacrificial offering of blood and how blood and life are related. So without the blood, life is impossible. So blood is very vital in the life of a creature. Without blood, people cannot live. You know, we hear the Red Cross always asking for donation of blood because there are people sick in the hospitals and lacking of blood. So it's so important. As the breath is important, the air, the oxygen that we have, in our system is important. So just let's set a little bit of science here. Blood carries life oxygen, maintaining cells as well as food made by the cells to other cells. And blood carries all waste away from cells. So it's this whole process going on, and only the Creator could put that in there. So that was, for me, like a reminder of that love and that care that God put for all of us in the physical sense. And imagine the spiritual sense, everything, that the image that he put in us, that he wanted to keep that relationship. So he had to do something. So in this verse that we read again, for the life of the creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourself on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for a one's life. So without the sacrifice, these people were dead. They couldn't do anything. They were helpless. So, excuse me. So God was showing me that at the time of where I began having this revelation, God was showing me what he had created with a purpose. So the reminder was for me of his power and his mercy, that he wanted to have a relationship with men. He wanted to have that image back. So he wanted to glorify his name, and so including that blood, the bread in our bodies. So we see that our life depends so much from that, from the blood and the breathing. So he keep us alive physically speaking. So as I was pondering in these things, I realized how men and women that God created so much, with so much love, had decided to leave him, to forsake him, to disobey him, to give their back to God, to offend the Creator, to disobey. And so all of us inherited that sinful nature. So what is sin? That sinful nature in us is to break the law of God, is to reject the Son of God, is to feel self-sufficient, to disobey God in all the ways possible, not thinking what he did for us, but just thinking in our own desires, our own pleasures. So when we reject Jesus, thank God all of us here, I think we have Jesus in our hearts, but there have been moments when we have rejected Jesus, maybe with actions. And in the New Testament, we find that there are people that rejected Jesus. And John 3 said that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but he came to save the world. And it's unbelief that condemned the world. When people don't believe in Jesus, then they condemn themselves. So because of that sinful nature that we inherited, every person is separated from God, the Father. According to Romans 23, I think all of you know that verse, but I will look for it in the Bible and we'll read it here. Romans 3:23 talks about the separation that we have from God because of sin. 3:23 of Romans says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Falling short of the glory of God seem like very big words. The separation that we have because of sin, because we offended God, we are separated from him. Another word for separation is destituted. So we are separated from him, we are away from him. There is a big cliff between us, between God and us. And we know that the consequence for sinning, the penalty for sinning, is death. And Romans 6:23 tells us that death is the penalty. But in the same verse, we encounter the remedy for this, for in the solution for our sins, because through Jesus, we receive eternal life. It's through him that we can have our relationship restored. It's God's desire to reconcile us with him. And through the ages, he had found a way, showed the way, have provided a way to make the reconciliation possible. We see in Leviticus, God gave Moses details, instructions how the sacrifices should be made, and because what God was showing that there was a way that relationship could be restored. So the sacrifices that are mentioned in Leviticus were the means that God provided. It's like the vehicle that God provided. It was the symbol God provided for that broken relationship to be mended, to be fixed. So That relationship that was broken in the Garden of Eden affected the whole humanity, all of us. And when we see the sacrifices happening, and just the image of seeing all the blood shed, all those animals dying, it's just heart-wrenching. It's just really sad for me. But God had to use a way to show the world that that was just a symbol for foreshadowing what Jesus would do for us. So no animal sacrifice made could complete what takes to have a perfect relationship. The effect of that sacrifice, those sacrifices were temporary. Except Jesus could do the perfect sacrifice. So because of those sacrifices were just for a time, and they had to be done constantly. So people, imagine people had to go to those places and be reminded that they were sinners, that they need to do something on themselves for being forgiven. So we'll read what Jesus had done for us in Hebrews 9:22. Excuse me. Hebrews 9:22. This is the first scripture in Hebrew that I want to read, and then we'll read another one. In fact, the law required that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So it was needed that the blood should be shed for covering the sins of people. So when the blood is shed, then the sins are forgiven. In this covenant, in the old covenant, the animals were sacrificed to atone for the sins of people. The priest had to be there, available to provide, to make the sacrifices. The people had to bring the animals and confess their sin and put their hand on the animal before it was killed, and that was offered before God, and God forgave them. But it has to be constant, had to be done. People had to do it, to go to there once a year. They were doing it. So imagine the priests were so overwhelmed, so tired of doing this over and over, following these instructions. But time passed, and the prophet Isaiah predicted that the Messiah would sacrifice his own life and be led like a lamb to the slaughter. So the Messiah, our Jesus Christ, came to the world, sent by God, because God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and he came to this earth just to give life, eternal life. And so that is amazing. It's just so beautiful to know that we are loved that much, that he could come here to this earth and give his life. So Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. He's the only one that can cover all our sins, and that is done. So in John 1:29, we find that the next day John the Baptist, the writer, the Apostle John, writes about John the Baptist, that Jesus was coming toward him, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." So it is through Jesus that we are reconciled with the Father, that we can have the perfect and pure relationship. The old ways are done, the sacrifices are done, and then a new covenant has begun. God made a way, God made a new thing. He came and gave grace to people. He gave his grace, his love, his compassion. So Jesus became the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6 says that no one comes to the Father but through Jesus. So there are no more animal sacrifices needed. Jesus sacrificed himself once and for all. It's amazing to know that he made it once and for all. He paid the price for all our sins, for everyone, for the whole world. So that we find, if you want to read it after, it's a beautiful reading in Hebrews 10:1-18. So before, the priest had to do the sacrifices. They had to make the sacrifices for the people. Now we have Jesus is our high priest. He opened the door for us. He gave us free entrance to the throne of God. We'll read Hebrews 10:19-22. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let's read the verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Hallelujah. Praise God. So God is prompting us today through his word to come near to him with confidence. He already did his part. Jesus shed his blood for all of us. Only we had to come to him with confidence and faith, believing, coming to the fountain, who is Jesus himself, knowing that he is real. So let us come to his presence and give all to him. Let us live holy lives, because he is waiting for us in heaven. So we honor him, please him, and honor and give glory to his name. So with this reminder and symbols, and now snow, what does snow have to do with this message? God is does things. I like I said in the beginning, he created everything with a purpose. No one thing can be of no use. So snow reminded me that we have had a very big storm around that time, and I so enjoyed. I know probably some of you don't want snow anymore, and probably I don't, but I enjoy so much to see the whiteness of snow. So God reminded me of this scripture in Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Hallelujah. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. The Lord is calling us, he's patient and merciful. It is important to recognize that we are nothing without him. Only Jesus makes us closer to the Father, because his sacrifice frees us and makes us new creation. So when he makes a comparison there with the sins, with if they are like scarlet, if they are red like crimson, they will be white as snow. He's making the point that there's nothing impossible for him, and it doesn't matter how dark our sins are. Just we can trust that he had forgave us. He had forgiven us, pardon, excuse me. He has forgiven us, and he had made the way for us to be closer to him. So today, my brothers and sisters, I invite you to meditate in these scriptures. And for those that have left the way, for those that have not understood the love of God, the mercy of God, I tell you today that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that one you can say yes to God, to Jesus. There is a verse in 2 Corinthians 6:2 that says, in time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I help you. I tell you, Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not ours. Yesterday is gone. Today is the only opportunity that we have to come closer to Him, to be in communion with Him. So, could anyone say yes to Jesus today? In your homes, anywhere, anybody that is going to hear this sermon, this message, you can say Jesus today. You can say to Jesus, come to my heart. If anybody here wants to come to the altar and made to recommit your life to the Lord, this is the day to do it. This is the time to be right with God. So thank to God for His love. We'll make a prayer and make us be glorified in our lives. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for your love and your mercy, so Lord. Thank you that you are with us. And you have loved us so much. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for giving us this blessing, oh God, to be your children. For forgiving us, forgiving our sins. Oh God, thank you. Thank you. We praise your name this morning. We give you glory to you, Lord. Thank you for all that you have done in our lives. Thank you that you showed us many, many years before you came to this world. You showed us and gave us reminders, gave the people of Israel reminders that you, God, are merciful and kind. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. We praise your name today, Father. Thank you for everyone in this sanctuary, Lord. Bless everyone, Lord, and everyone that is at home, God, that is blessed too by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you.